Can you send a memo to my church that that means to turn the mic on when you stand up? All right. All right, there's my pen. We're good. I'm going to introduce my family, and then I'm actually going to get out of the way and let Elizabeth come up here and sing. I've actually never been here with my family before. Elizabeth is usually leading worship at the church in San Marcos, but we adjusted the schedule around a little bit so she could come and be with us today. But this is my 14-year-old son, Timothy, and my, are you 11 now? Yeah, 11-year-old, Damaris. And we're glad to be here today. We always look forward to coming and just seeing what God is doing here and just being part of that. So, man, I'm spoiled. Father, we love you. Spirit, we just are so grateful, God, that you're here. Lord, I'm reticent to invite you because I know just how mighty and awesome you are. We just say, come have your way. We don't give you permission. We just say, you're in charge, God. So we just say we receive from you right now, God. Holy Spirit, we just receive what you're releasing today, Lord. We say, Lord, it's nothing of ourselves, Lord, but it's of you. And we just ask you to come right now, Lord. I ask that you would just begin to just release the waves of your glory over the congregation right now, over your people, God. Lord, we just say we want to come out of here knowing more about you, who you are, how good you are, how much you love us, Lord, how you think about us, God, today, Lord. Lord, it's better than we know. You're better than we know, God. You are better than we have comprehended. And we just say, Lord, we're asking for a revelation just of who you are, Lord. And in that, our hearts will rejoice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as your Pastor Mike was saying, that we actually met in the Ukraine. What he doesn't know is I've been 6 times since. Wow. I love it. If I didn't live here, I'd live there. I love everything about it, so much so that I'm taking Russian just so I can talk to him a little bit more. So, but I appreciate that more than you'll ever know. It's changed my life to just go and see what God's doing all over the world. Last week, actually, 7 days ago, right now, I was on a mule in Guatemala coming back from an unreached people group. And I just want to say this, if you ever have the chance to go meet a people that have not heard about Jesus, go and let it transform the inside of you as you watch people hear the good news. We actually went, there was one man in the village that had heard the gospel down in a larger city, and he had come to the missionaries and said, I know that my village is open if you'll come. And so we went and built a church and had the first service and set that one man in as the pastor. I mean, if you got one believer, he's in charge. But of the 50 families, 35 signed up to come and meet with him one-on-one to hear about the gospel of Jesus, from just the act of kindness and just going and blessing them. And I just want to say this, the gospel is alive and it is real. And sometimes we forget that, being in our suburban American lives, that the gospel is full of transformation power, and just watching it up in those mountains. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, just how one journey into the mountains of Guatemala is going to change an entire generation. Today, but there's a few things I'd like to do before I get going. And if you've seen me before, just know this: all bets of normality are off here today. So, you know, I used to love to clap about that stuff. Now I'm like, oh God, where are we going? I just put my seatbelt on and see where he's taking us. But I'm going to talk to you today about the release of vision into our lives. The release of vision. And before I do that, actually, I'm going to show one way that God releases vision into our lives. Can I do that? So, James, I'm going to ask you to stand up. For some reason, my spirit is drawn to you. And I think it's because we're the same. I think it's because there's something in us that would like so much more than what we're walking in. And that it wouldn't just be a dream, but that it would be a reality. And so the Lord, I was just standing in the back and we were done. And we had just finished one of my very favorite songs ever from Jesus Culture, Show Us Your Glory. And I'm just standing back there and the Lord just told me to tell you this. He said, the Lord gives you permission to be what's in your heart. He gives you permission. And those things that are in you and those things that are rumbling around that you've said, could that really be? God just says yes. And he says he actually is releasing you into it today. He says no longer will it just be a hope and not just not a spiritual hope, but just a dream. But the Lord says today reality is upon you. And he's pulling back the veil and he said no longer pieces, no longer glimpses, but he's going to begin to show you. And the Lord just also, he says in this, get ready because it's a ride. Get ready because it's going to look different. It's going to feel different. It's going to sometimes hurt to run this way. But God just says, if you'll do it, the freedom that you've longed for in your spirit, the freedom that you've longed for in your heart, the freedom that you've longed for even in your core, God says, it's coming because I'm freedom. I am freedom. Everything about me is freedom. It doesn't have to look a certain way, be a certain way. God just says he releases you and he gives you permission. He gives you permission from heaven. It's like jurisdiction, legal note has been taken in heaven that you've been freed today in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's one way God releases vision into our lives. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to get started in Proverbs 29, very familiar passage, and then we're just going to jump right into what God is saying and doing. As I was praying this week, I actually had a lot of time because when you take mules into the mountains, then you usually have an 8-hour ride somewhere with another 8-hour ride to eventually get you to the airport. And so I had a lot of 8-hour rides in the van and just began to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to Tree of Life, Pflugerville? That's a good question, right? Because if I just came with what he's saying to Hill Country Church in San Marcos, it might be good, but it might not be full of life for you. And I heard the Lord just say this to me. I heard him say it so clear. I actually typed it in my iPad. I heard him say, it's a season of increased vision for this house. It's a season of permission. That is just an example of what God is wanting to do all over the congregation. See, his vision is alive. And he is longing for a people who will walk in the things that he's dropping into their hearts. And he's saying, I'm giving you permission to be who I've called you to be. See, now under that is, yes, we walk under authority of our church leadership and those things, but do you know that you are all called to be ministers of the gospel? All of you have a purpose and destiny that God is looking to release you in so he can, the whole plan is this, God's plan is actually to win the world. And I think that we've kind of lost hope of that. We just said, well, we'll just hang in here for the strong survivors till the rapture comes. He's looking to win the whole thing. That's his plan. And we need to raise the bar back up that he's looking for everyone. I quit asking for just a large church a long time ago. And I started asking for cities. And however God wants to do it, I'm glad if every church in our town is huge because that means everybody being captured. I'm looking, you know, and a long time ago when I was at school in Austin, the Lord showed me, he said, I'm going to win this city. Yes. I'm going to win Austin. He said, it's going to take a people who are ready to fight for it. Yep. That's one of the first things God ever spoke to me, almost audibly sitting in Lady Bird Johnson Park. And I sat there and I said, God, do you want me to be part of that? And he said, I just want you to hear what I'm saying. He is looking to capture and win entire cities, and it's going to take people of vision to accomplish that. It's going to take people who see specific things dropped in their hearts. See, what Pastor Mike is called to and what I am called to are different. But when we run in the same strength and light of the Holy Spirit, then we accomplish. As we accomplish, then it begins to create an effect where more and more things are accomplished. See, and as a church, as you begin to run with the things that God is dropping into your heart, you're going to see momentum of the Holy Spirit begin to build in such a way you say, wow, we look completely different than we looked a year ago. I want to say this. Our church, since we've given them permission to dream, is a different place. We have people tackling the sex industry trade. We have people moving all over the nations just saying, let's go capture nations. We have people who are hearing the call of God. We have someone that's running for Congress in our church. And I just want to say this, they're going to win. Because God's dropped it in their heart to see that their vision is to see God built up and magnified in Washington, D.C. See, it's a dream in their heart. I don't want to be a politician, but I'm thrilled to tell them to go for it. I'm thrilled to say, hey, if that's in your heart, run with everything in you. And there's an increase of vision here in this place. It's not going to be about title. This isn't going to be about, you know, what title you're carrying. It's going to be who you are. See, I don't need a title to be who I am. You can slap janitor on my back and make me sweep the floors, and I guarantee this, people are going to sweep with me. That's just, I learned that a long time ago, whatever I was doing. You know, I laid tile for 10 years. Guess what? I raised an army of tile setters. And I began to realize, oh, God's got something up his sleeve here. So it's not about title. This is about release into your vision. So let's just read Proverbs 29:18. As Bill Johnson says, we got to keep it legal. Read a verse. I'm kidding. We're going to read a lot of verses today. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, for those of you who read the King James, it says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. God is looking to release vision, but most importantly, he's looking to release it for the fruit of what it produces in your life. Do you realize that if you do not have vision, you will not be walking in the amount of life that God has for you? You're actually just surviving. That's what I believe a life without vision is survival. But a life with vision, it actually says here, that where there is no vision or revelation, know this, revelation, vision comes from revelation. The reason they're the same word is because God's not looking for you to stumble into something natural and that be your vision. Vision is birthed in heaven. Vision is birthed in revelation of who God is and what he's doing. And all of a sudden, when you begin to discover who he is and how much he cares for you and how he thinks about you, all of a sudden, vision is going to begin to birth in your life for who you are. See, you'll never discover who you are without knowing who he is. It's impossible. You might have glimpses, but till you know who he is and how he feels about you, you'll always think you're not good enough to do the vision that's being put in your heart. And God is looking to raise up a generation that says, this is who I am, and from that, this is who you are. See, right now, I used to not be a confident person until I realized I was a son of the Most High God. Changed everything about me. Changed where I was going, who I was. Everything about my future was changed in that 1 minute when he said, I want to labor with you. I'm not going to make you do it. I want to labor with you. And so God began to show us that and began to build that up. But he wants to release vision. It's so interesting that without vision, you will die. That's a guarantee from the Bible. You know, we like guarantees. Well, here's one that should implore us to seek out vision. Because without vision, you will perish. Now, does that mean you're going to walk out of here and breathe your last breath? Probably not. But how many of you ever been dead spiritually? It's the worst place. There's nothing worse than coming in to the presence of God and not being able to take a deep breath. There's nothing worse than being dead. And what it's saying here is when you do not have vision, you will actually not be able to draw the life from who God is releasing to you. Remember, Jesus said this. He came that we might have life and what? life more abundantly, meaning that he came so that we would be functioning in life. And one of the ways that we function in that life is to walk in the vision he has for us. See, that's why when God begins to speak and minister to James, why all of a sudden there's like something that begins to break? Why? Because it breaks us to a new place of life. And God is about releasing life. It wasn't just Jesus' plan. He actually released it into his people so they would be releasing life all the time. Do you know that the first church was life givers everywhere they went? We got to get back to that level. You know what? I've just decided that they are the example of life for us. Actually, the Jesus model is the example. That whole series changed our church's life when we decided to be like Jesus. And that's what those first guys did. Why? Because they were receiving vision from him. But what we have to understand about vision is this, is that the Father is always releasing greater vision to us. He's always looking for us to be the recipients of vision. And it doesn't always come through prophecy. I will say this, oftentimes the best place to receive vision is in your quiet time with the Lord, just saying, Lord, as you reveal yourself to me, would you release the vision you have for me? In the corporate setting, you're in worship. God drops something in your heart. That's vision being released. He's always looking to release vision into your life. And it's interesting that it says in Amos that God does nothing except send revelation to his prophets. Do you know who his prophets are? It's you guys. Because Moses tells Joshua, he says, man, I wish that all would prophesy. I wish that all would hear the voice of God. I wish that everyone would have such a deep relationship with God. When he speaks from heaven, they would hear it and begin to sound like a trumpet. See, we've put our vision on other people saying, well, when they give it to me, or when God just publicly releases something to me, then I have it. It is your responsibility as God's child and co-laborer to hear the labor he has for you. And I just want to encourage you, he's excited to give it. He's excited to release it. And it's bigger than you know. When I speak about this, I can always sense people say, well, that's your vision. Mine must be this little piece. If you want a little piece, he'll give it to you. But know this, it will be a piece of what he has for you. Vision is always greater than we can hold on our inside of ourselves. Elizabeth and I always say, man, I want to ask for something that failure is guaranteed unless God shows up. And so we've started. And guess what? He's always shown up, and failure has not been an option. Because he likes people who will dare to dream. And so we're just going to, but we see this and how God is wanting to do this. It's interesting that Psalms tells us this, as we begin to receive from him, it actually begins to release us into a place of freedom. And I just want to say this to you, Brother Mike. I sense so strong that as the increase of vision begins to come, there is such an increase. I believe this, there's like a well of freedom right here. And it's going to take the nobles that take their staffs and just begin to say, spring up. It's going to look different. It's going to smell different. It's going to taste different. And it's going to be what people are drawn to, though, is that well right here. And so I just encourage you, take out that staff and just begin to dig and say, spring up a well. Spring up a well. Because freedom is the result of vision. Freedom is the result. It actually says this, that as we walk in the paths and commands that God is releasing to us, we can run around in a spacious place. We can go and run around in that place. We can run. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to walk anywhere. I'm a mover. I'm just, man, if I hear where we're going, let's get there. That's why 8 hours on a mule was, you're kidding me. I said, well, can we make the mule walk faster? And they said, well, you can make a switch and learn his name and see. And I did, and I won. I beat everybody there, even the natives. And I didn't have to switch him. I just would show it to him, say, I'm ready. God wants people who are ready to move in the things that he's doing. And he's looking to release vision. Now, here's the interesting thing. I said this earlier, but I want to touch on it again. He always releases vision through partnership. See, those who are looking for vision, are the people who find it. And here's what I actually believe this combats the most. The pie in the sky mentality that God is going to eventually rip open heaven and show me my great destiny. And it will change my life forever. Most of that's very true. Except it doesn't happen for most people because they're waiting for it. When God is saying, I'm looking to partner. I am looking to partner with people. And so we're going to look at just some ways today that we, as he partners with us, he, you know what he actually does? He actually says, I'm looking for a people who will look. Who will look and see what I'm doing. If you notice, the people in the Old Testament that fulfilled the destiny, it was often because they were looking. They saw what God was doing, and they just said, I can do that. I can be that. Or even sometimes they said, are you sure you want me? And he says, you can do it. You've seen it. You can do it. And so I want to just show you three common traits of our examples today, because we're going to have three examples of Old Testament people who had a vision and saw it, and we're going to look at a Hebrew word that actually means to look again, and to lift up your eyes. Because there's three different ways that you can look. See, a lot of us have looked before, so we need to look again. And then sometimes we just need to lift up our eyes because the world's been beating on us a little bit. We've got to lift up our eyes. But there's three common traits that all these guys have, and I think that these are so valuable for us to see if we're going to be people who walk in vision. And the first one is this, is all three of the guys we're going to look at today were people of vision. Meaning people of vision, they had surrendered their life to saying, whatever you show me, God, I'll do. It is a trait that it cannot be overlooked or bypassed as God's people. Meaning when God shows you something, it is generally not optional. Unless you want to go into a really fun desert. God is looking for people who will say, I will be a person of vision. Now, I warn you, this comes with extreme danger in the kingdom when I say this. That when you say yes, get ready because he's about to stretch you. I have never said yes to him, and then he said, okay, this is going to be an easy journey. Not one time. Because he's looking to mold and make and grow. And he's also, remember I said it's bigger than ourselves, so he has to grow us to a place where we can even begin to comprehend the things he's wanting us to do. And it takes a people of vision. Second common trait, though, of these three guys we're going to look at today is this. They all had deep communion with the Lord. Again, you cannot bypass this trait and be a person of vision. God shares his secrets with his friends. Say, well, I know I'm a servant of God. I know I'm a child of God. Know this, you're also a friend of God. I no longer call you servants, but I call you what? Friends. Why? Because God is multidimensional, and he can be Lord and Master and your friend all at the same time. And we need to just shake off these things. I'll just do whatever you tell me. I want to do what he tells me because I'm passionately in love with him, not because I have to. And if you haven't picked up yet, I was not good at doing anything because I had to. Actually, I wouldn't do anything that they made me do just to prove that I didn't have to. And that's why it began to be such a passion in my heart when I began to see the kingdom is not requirement. It is expression of experience with him. And God he wants to do that. And he wants you to see that it will be communion with him as where you grow into the vision he has for you. Number three is this. Three common traits these guys had. They were all looking for the fresh next thing that God was releasing. Why? Because a person of vision never settles in. Let me give you a quick example of this in the New Testament. Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, his friends. The three that had discovered they could be his friend, while the others were just ready to serve the king. And they're up there, and guess who shows up? The Father. So with Moses and Elijah as well. But know this, the most honored guest was the Father was there. And he began to talk to him, began to speak to him, and Jesus began to shine. The very essence of who he was, the very DNA of who he was, began to rise up just as the Father walked into the room. Oh, by the way, that's how Sunday morning should be. When the Father walks in the room, our DNA of who we are should begin to rise up. We should look like a bonfire in here every Sunday. You know, I'm tired of stirring the embers. I want some flames. And God began to just want, and Jesus is there, and he began to just talk to the Father, and they're talking about what's about to happen at the cross. And it says that all of eternity, all of heaven is looking down. They are excited about what's about to happen on earth. Do you know that you can bring heaven to its feet? I can give you another example. It says when they're stoning Stephen, Stephen says, "I see Jesus standing at the right side of the Father." But doesn't it tell us he went down and sat there? Something brought Jesus to his feet, and it was someone named Stephen. And God was just saying, "Look at that. That's amazing." So we, but back on the mountain, we see that they're talking, and you know, Peter, he loved to settle in. He says, "You know what we should do? We should build houses and try to save and protect this glory that just went on here." And I believe that it's very often our mentality in the church is try to maintain and save what God has done when he's just, Jesus and the Father says, "This is my well pleased, the Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Meaning, don't settle for this. This is just a glimpse of where you're going. And I feel like one of the biggest things that hinders vision in our lives is settling into a place that we're not looking for the next piece of the vision. You know, not that we haven't had great moments, not that we haven't had moments of glory, not that God didn't just show up and blow us away. How many of you can just close your eyes and think of one time when God did that? If you can't, I encourage you, close your eyes and dare him to come blow you away. He'll do it. But he doesn't want us to build a house there and say, "This is the best ever." He's saying, "Hey, this is a journey with me. And when you journey with me, it goes from strength to strength, glory to glory, experience to experience. And when you see the vision of what I'm releasing." And what you'll find with these guys is they were always looking for what God was doing. I mean, the first guy we're going to look at is Joshua. I mean, Joshua had a pretty high moment in that tent. When Moses, the friend of God, left the tent, Joshua decided, "I like this place, I'm staying." So moved the heart of God, they wrote it into the Word of God. Ever think about that? Just a little fact, it says, "And Joshua, his aide, stayed in the tent." Why? It moved God's heart so much that Joshua... But if that were the end of the story with Joshua, Joshua would not have completed the task that God had for him. If he had built a tent there and said, "This is who I'm called to be and do." You know, I love people who just love to be in the presence of God and get in there and just worship. But let me tell you this. If that is your only tent, you may miss the vision that God has for you in the future. I know people that they just say, "Well, it's just me and Jesus." No, it's not. It's you and Jesus and the thing he's releasing you to do. And you know, the truth is, I've just seen a lot of self-centeredness in that, where I'm just, "Oh, I just love being with Jesus." Yeah, you missed a golden opportunity to pray for that person in the grocery store. And you, if you're around me enough to know, know this, that no one is off limits from the kingdom of God at no time. Meaning, you cannot excuse yourself away from what God is telling you to do because you're in a hurry. Or it's not Sunday. Or it's not in the church building. He's looking to break out of this place. And he even says, I'll give you permission to do it if you believe it. He's looking to do something astounding. So let's just look, how are we doing? Oh, we're not doing too good. We're going to turn up the heat here. First one is this, is Joshua. And I'm going to quote some of these verses so we can just head in. Well, the first time we see this word in Joshua's life where he says, go and look over the land. Go and look over the land is actually in Numbers 14 when he's sent as a spy. But the verse I want to quote to you today is actually in Joshua 2:1 when he picks two more spies. You notice he doesn't pick 12 this time. He's smart. 12 was a bad number the first time. So he said, well, there was two of us that believed. So how many picked this time? Two. He sent them and he says, go and look at the land again. Look at the land and go to Jericho. Why? Because what you're going to find is this, that in this Hebrew word, God is saying, I want you to look and see what God has for you. You will not discover what God has for you with your head in the ground hoping that you get picked. You're picked. You're on God's team. You were the first round draft pick. And he's looking to release you into something. And Joshua tells these guys, go and look and see. But what we find in this is an interesting thing, that there is a confirmation of spiritual increase that goes on. Why? Because he was saying, you're about to go and look and see the very place that we're called to live. The place that I looked at 40 years ago and everybody messed it up. So go and look and see how good it is. See, when you begin to look, you're going to see the giants. And I've been telling our church this. There are giants that are demanding that you are on their land when the truth is they are poaching on yours. And they go and they begin to see an increase. They begin to see. And you know what? I bet those spies begin to fill up in their heart. Oh my goodness. God is everything we ever heard He is. And this land is everything that we heard. And it's even better. Yeah, there's some giants. And that's why Joshua said, oh, go look at Jericho. Because Jericho was the uncapturable city. When your walls are as wide as they are high, there's no pushing them over. And Joshua knew what was coming. But let me tell you what vision did. It revealed the next step in the process. Mike, I bet you have people come to you all the time. Could you just tell me where I'm supposed to be heading? Could you just pray the Lord will show me? Know this, vision keeps you moving in the process. And the next step in the process was Jericho. And it took them seeing and going and looking. Know this, you'll never attack your Jericho without seeing the goodness of the land. And Joshua understood that because he had seen it 40 years ago and there was something in him that was so passionate about it. He said, I will go. I want you guys to look. There's going to be something that opens up in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind that says, whoa, God is everything He ever claimed to be. See, there may be something that totally causes you to just come undone as He begins to show, as you begin to look and say, oh, God, I've got a young lady in our church. She actually lived with us for quite a few years. She began to look and see the sex trade industry. And something took hold of her. My shy, mild little daughter turned into an animal. Because something rose up in her and said, we will stop this. And you know what most people thought of? That's a pretty big subject. Why don't you just find a piece to attack? She said, oh, we'll eat it piece by piece, but we're going to stop it. So she started a 501c3 and doing conferences and just trying to build up an understanding and awareness of the problem. But see, it took looking. It takes looking. The reason we were up in those mountains is because there was a man who decided to ride up into those mountains and look and see if there was anything God wanted to do. You know what they did to him the first time? They put him in a net and threw him in the river and hoped him to drown. They told us that after we got there. It's like, awesome. But there he was, standing in front of the people and nobody was saying. I have seen who you are, and we've come to tell you about Jesus. Come on. He looked. And he didn't look at just that they tried to kill me. He looked at the fact that these are people destined for the kingdom of God. And God is looking to release that in us. The second one, because we're hurrying, is this. Is that we're going to use the example of Elijah. Not the story of fire falling from heaven on the altar, but what happens after that. Because that's a great victory in the kingdom of God. But you know what? There was still vision yet to happen. And it's because they were in drought. And he turns and he tells the king, rain is coming. Get ready. And then it does an interesting thing. It says Elijah, in his normal prayer mode, puts his head between his knees. I don't know why. I don't like to pray that way, but it seemed to be Elijah's favorite way to pray. He puts his head between his knees and he begins to call out to the rain. And then he tells his servant this. He says, go and what? Look to see if it's raining. The servant comes back and says, no. And he uses the Hebrew word right there. He says, look again. Look again for what God has said. Because God has said rain is coming. See, a lot of times God will drop a word of the Lord in our hearts. But how many times are you willing to look? So it says seven times. The servant comes back and says nothing. He says, look again. And he's contending for what God is doing. In the life of vision, there will be moments where you will have to contend with the vision that God has dropped into your heart. And he begins to say, and he says, look again, look again, look again. And all of a sudden the servant says, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. And Elisha says, that'll do. Get ready, here comes the rain. See, in Texas we have these big black giant walls of thunderstorms come. But a hand of God, it's more than that. And he says, get ready, because here comes the rain. See, we have to understand that in this, there is some contention. I am not offering you something that you will not have to fight for. I'm offering you something that's worth the fight. I'm offering you something that says, when the vision of God begins to fill me up, I'm willing to, when I don't see it, I'm willing to say, go look again. I'm willing to rise up and say, man, I'm ready to contend for that group of people. I'm ready to contend for the purpose of God in my life. I'm ready to contend for the partnership that God has between me and Him. Remember, we're co-laboring with Him. He says, now, are you ready to labor? We've lost the art of laboring. We're good at striving, but not much laboring. I'll just throw that one there at you. Third example, though, is Abraham. And the reason I use Abraham is because it's an interesting thing. Abraham's father of faith. If anyone should have understood vision and been able to grasp it, he should have. And he did, but not without some help from God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just say, figure it out? I mean, he starts this way, hey, just leave everything, go. And Abraham says, okay. But I want you to see this. He says, I want you to leave everyone behind. Everyone. Except your wife and your servants and your livestock. But everyone from your family stays. You know, he took Lot. Now, I just wanted to tell you this. In the beginning of the vision, God's going to tell you some things to do. They're not optional. Right. And we're going to see what happens. It says in Genesis 13 that the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham began to quarrel. Why? Because there was not enough room for both of them. See, there is not enough room for the things that you would like in this world and the things of the kingdom of God. They will war on the inside of you. And that's why God says, hey, when you come to me, I'm going to remove all that. It's a new life. It's a new creation. No lots allowed. But Abraham, in what he thought was a kind act, I just want to say that. Good intentions. I'm going to bring Lot for a better life, which was not God's plan. God had his own intentions for Lot. I don't know what they were, but they were good. But Abraham, he brings Lot, and it says this. It says then that, so they just have this meeting out in the middle of the plain, and Lot looks, and God says, let him choose first. And just, that's how God will do. No, I want to choose first. No, let Lot. And what does Lot pick? Anyone know the story? Genesis 13 says he picks the better part. It actually says it was well watered like the Garden of Eden. He just said, I think I'll take this over here. And they look over there and it's like, oh my gosh, Abraham says, I guess I'll take this over here. And Abraham knows that his decision has cost him the better part. And God says, Abraham, the Hebrew word right here, lift up your eyes and look. Lift them up. See, there are going to be circumstances in your life that are warring against the vision of God. And sometimes there is something on the inside of you that's got to lift up your eyes when you don't feel like it. When you've made decisions that have cost you. Say, are they unredeemable? No way. Do you know that God made what Abraham chose better and he got Lot's land? What he thought cost him the whole promise, God just said, lift up your eyes. And then he says, I want you to do this. Look north, south, east, and west. Abraham probably said, well, I just picked east. He said, I told you to look all directions. Because everything that you can see, I'm going to give you. Oh, he said, one more thing. We need to go for a walk together. Because everywhere you put your foot, I'm giving you. Most of us have disqualified ourselves from bad choices. And we just say, oh, I guess this is the lot God's given me. This is as good as it gets. I'm going to church, I'm loving the Lord, but it's for me doing something for Him. You know, those decisions, they just cost me. That's the enemy. That's the lie of the devil. And I just want to say this, the generation that preceded us, it cost them everything. It sure cost them from doing anything. Accomplishing all that God had for us. See, a generation is going to rise up and says, I cannot be disqualified by who God, because of who God is. And so we see that, and we see that in Abraham's life. And I just want to say this about that word right there where it says to lift up. It means three different things in the Hebrew. One of them means to bear up. Sometimes there's some bearing that has to go on. It says, I'm going to bear up. It doesn't say just forget about the choice. I'm going to bear them up. I'm going to take these up. But another word is an interesting thing. It says there's going to be a stirring. How do you know that? I love this about the Old Testament. There's a word called kaboom kaboom, Hebrew. And it actually means to be stirred. I'm sure that's where we get the word kaboom. To be stirred up. There's something that God wants to do. He's saying, hey, I'm not going to make you stir yourself. I'm just going to say, when you lift up your eyes, there's a stirring that's going to happen on the inside of you. Why? Because He wants it more for you than you want it. Remember that. God wants you to succeed more than you even know. And He's saying, I will stir you to the purpose of God. I will stir you when, man, you just feel like I blew it. He says, oh, yeah, stir up. The last one actually just means this. It says, just advance. I've learned this about vision. One of the best ways to stay in vision is not to sit still. Just advance. Where are you going? Wherever He leads, I trust Him. It's sure easier to move me when I'm moving. Because if I've sat down, it usually means I'm sulking. It says, time to get up. Advance. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to turn it over to your pastor for a moment. And then there's going to be a release of vision in here. And it's coming. And it's coming corporately, and you're going to feel it hit you like a ton of bricks. You say, how can you say that? Because I know who He is. So I'm just going to get out of your way here for a minute, Pastor Mike.